2 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 16. Nevertheless, when anyone shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Father, I thank you for this little text and for the incredible direction and information contained in it. And I ask that we would have yielded hearts, ready minds to receive what you'd have for us this morning. So speak through Scripture. Speak this morning, Lord, we're listening. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On Thursday night, we started a series. It's only 4 weeks long, so there's 3 weeks left. It's called Chasing the Sun, where we're looking at what it means kind of to be a man according to God's Word. And I started out that time just asking some questions, and I thought we had a really great time. And it's not just because I was teaching the message, but I think we had a good time. And what I did is I just took about, 6 or 8 questions, and I just asked the guys these questions to kind of have a little bit of self-examination, like, where are we at? What's our purpose? What's the intent of being a man? What is this thing? And I want to do the same thing this morning from a little different perspective. I want to ask this simple question, and it's this: why are you a Christian? What's the purpose to being a Christian? So fundamentally, foundationally, why are you a Christian? Now some people are going to say this. They're going to say, Matt, I'm a Christian because when I die, I want to go up. I don't want to go down. I've got it on my bumper sticker. It says there, eternity, ? Smoking or non-smoking? I chose non-smoking. I'll tell you what. I am amazed at Christian bumper stickers. I saw one on Friday. I could not believe it. It said this. I don't know if you've seen this before. It was the first time I've ever seen it. It said this. It said, crack the Bible, get high on Jesus. I was just like, what? I really thought that I was called to take that car off the road somehow. Just drive my Volkswagen full speed into the back of that car and just wreck my Volkswagen into it. But then I thought, well, it would probably total my Volkswagen. It wouldn't even touch that vehicle, so that wouldn't work. So then I thought, I better just catch up to them and have like a discussion with them. But the only problem was they were doing 35 miles per hour and I couldn't catch them in my van. Just not going to work. I couldn't believe it. So some people, it's I'm a Christian because I want to go up. I don't want to go down. I want to go up. Other people, they say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm here. I'm a Christian because I want to find me a good woman. This is where you find them. And I like her right over there. I like her. Glenn's going, great, there goes the singles group. Thanks. Other people, that's not why I'm here. Matt, I'm here. I'm a Christian to fix my wife. She's all messed up. I'm here for my wife. Is that a little too honest for some of you? You're right now, you're going, don't make eye contact. Don't look at my wife. Dude, look straight ahead. This will not go well. Other people, I'm a Christian because I want to be happy. I just want to be happy, Matt. So your message intrigues me. Can you really get high in the Bible? Does that work? There's a few people that's all they're going to hear. For the rest of the time, they're just going to be looking at their Bible like, how does that work? Is that like banana peels or something? You know, what is... I'm sorry. Not really, but I'll say I am. So the question is, why are you a Christian? What is it? What's the purpose to being a Christian? And I could you know, go over lots of other things, but it's going to get hot, so I won't. Here is why we're Christians. It's found in Philippians 3. It's found in 1 John chapter 3. It's found in our text here. But probably the best place that explains why you're a Christian, it's Romans 8, 29. Let me read that for you. It says this, Romans 8, 29. For whom God did foreknow, he also did predestinate, or you could put their purpose or plan, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. You know why you're a Christian? To look like Jesus. That is the whole purpose to Christianity. The reason why we're on this path, the reason why you get saved and you don't just go to heaven like that is because God wants to, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, conform you to the image of Jesus. Fundamentally, the purpose of Christianity is to make you look like Jesus. That's it. That's the whole purpose to Christianity. So if that's the purpose, what's the process? How's that carried out? How do you, how do I, if that is the purpose to Christianity, if Romans 8, 29, if the Bible's saying you need to look more like Jesus, then what's the process? How does that happen? How do I look more like Jesus? There's all kinds of ideas. Some people say it's education. If you just know more facts, then you're going to be a better Christian. You're going to be more like Jesus. Some people say it's education. Here's the problem I have with that. I know a lot of Bible dudes that are absolute phenomenal at the Bible, but they're jerks. I mean, they are absolute jerks. They look nothing like Jesus. So that's not necessarily going to do it. It's not necessarily going to do it. Other people think it's a program. If I just find the right 12 steps, the right programs, that's going to get me there. Other people, it's the right book. If I can just find this perfect book or it's just these DVD sets or if that pastor, if he just finally preached the right sermon, it's not going to happen. Then that would get it there, right? There's all these ideas about how it's going to happen. It's got this thing, that thing, if only, and we're always looking to how does this happen? Well, let me give you an analogy. I think Christians can learn a lot from popcorn. There are two ways that I know of eating popcorn. You can eat popcorn raw, or you can eat popcorn popped. Now, have you ever tried to eat popcorn raw? Don't raise your hand or I'll mock you. You can grind away, and you can try that until something breaks and you got to go visit the dentist. You can try that attempt, or what you can do is you can take popcorn and you can put it in the right conditions and pop it. Now, do you know why popcorn pops? There's a little bit of water inside a popcorn kernel. And when that little bit of water gets hot, it turns to steam, and it's got this incredible power where it absolutely blows that popcorn, that kernel up, and it becomes popcorn. It turns it inside out. It transforms it from the inside out. And so popcorn, when it's popped, it looks nothing like it did when it was a kernel, and it becomes edible and delicious. You put a kernel in the right conditions, and then it's transformed. Now, to me, those are the two kinds of Christians. There are Christians that look at Christianity like they've got to grind it out, bear down on it. I'm going to get this thing right. And they do that for a while, but they turn into mean, grumpy, baptized in lemon juice people that feel that they are called to the ministry of misery. They just make you miserable to be around them. They don't look like Jesus. But then there's these other Christians that they get, you know what? If I'll just put myself in the right condition, then there's going to be this thing that happens where God's spirit within me gets heated up, and all of a sudden from the inside out, there is this transformation that changes me into Jesus. Now, I'm hoping most of us want to be that second kind of Christian. Not to grind it out till something breaks. But rather the people that say, I want to find out the conditions for my soul that are going to heat up God's spirit within me that he's already given me so that there's this transformation that takes place. I hope that's all of us. So what we're going to talk about this morning, I just call it the conditions for popping Christians. Real simple. To me, I see it. Some real key things in these three verses that will get you to the place where God can say, all right, let's heat things up. Let's transform you from the inside out. Not grind it out, but rather from the inside out. So number one, conditions for popping Christians. Number one, you start at the cross. You start at the cross. Look at verse 16. It says this. Nevertheless, when anyone shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now verse 17. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Number one, the conditions to pop Christians. Number one, it says you start at the cross. It says here, whenever someone finally turns to the Lord, that's when the veil's taken away. Now, if you weren't here with us on Wednesday, here's what's taking place. This chapter, we studied through it, it's all about what is known as the new covenant. What's the new covenant? Simply put, the new covenant is the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is Jesus Christ came to save us. Save us from what? Now, if you're a Wednesday nighter, you better know this. What did Jesus Christ come to save us from? It is not sin. Did you know that? Right. The law, the Bible says, the law is perfect converting the soul. The law is perfect. It could have saved us from sin. The only problem was what? You. Me. Jesus Christ came to save us from us. Our inability to be moral, our inability to keep rules, our inability to do it on ourselves, our inability to be good people. Jesus Christ came to save us from us. That's the gospel message. He came to do what no man can do. He did it on our behalf for us. That's the gospel. So this is all about the new covenant, the gospel, and Jesus Christ came to save us from us. And here's what's glorious about this. Here's what's glorious. Because the law was this. The Old Testament, the old way was this. You do these things, and then God's going to accept you, and God will love you. But if you don't do these things, look out. Fear, trepidation, misery. Do this, and then God will love you and accept you. The new covenant is this. What was done on the cross makes you acceptable. So when you believe in Jesus, you don't work for acceptance. You start from acceptance. Jesus Christ accepts you just as you are, exactly right now, because of the work on the cross. It's beautiful. It's unbelievable. It's like this. Too many people get in this mentality. And the mentality is this, that God will love a future version of us. That once I am able to stop doing these things, and once I am able to start doing these things, then God will love me. But right now, he's just tolerating me. He doesn't really love me. That God will like me when I finally get some things right and finally stop doing some things. Nothing could be further from the truth. You start from acceptance. When you start at the cross, Jesus Christ has made you acceptable 100%. It's like this. I've given this analogy before. I'll give it again. It's like this. I have a 21-month-old son, Elijah John. Now, Elijah John is not potty trained. He cannot communicate very well with me yet. He loves to, pretty much at this point, take off his clothes and pee on the lawn. That's about heaven for him. That's about it. I am not waiting for Elijah to run a 4:40 before I love him. Right? The 4:6 he runs right now is fast enough. That's a track term. You probably don't understand that. I'm not waiting for him to be potty trained. I'm not waiting for him to do something different. I love Elijah John exactly like he is right now. I couldn't love him more. I am madly in love with Elijah John. Not waiting for some future version of him to love. That's the same thing. When you start at the cross, when you look to the Lord, then it says you get the spirit of liberty. You're freed from condemnation. You're freed from rules-based religion. You're free from these unfair expectations. You're free from all that garbage because you start from being accepted. You are adopted. God delights in you as his child. I say this all the time. If you run to God, he will not be mad at you. That's what the cross declares. You've got to let that sink into your soul. If you want to be transformed and stop being the grind it out, religious, grumpy Christian, you've got to let the cross sink into your soul. You got to let it sink in. That he accepts you and he loves you regardless. Because it's all based on Jesus. Let that sink in. That's where we start. That is the foundation of the Christian faith. That Christ died for you, did what you could never do, and now he has made you acceptable to God. Period. Unbelievable truth. Foundation. So you start at the cross. You look to the Lord, and he is the one that has liberated you from all the garbage that used to keep you down. Number two, not only you start at the cross, number two, you stop hiding behind masks. You want the right conditions to allow God's Spirit to heat up and pop you? Then you stop hiding behind masks. Look at verse 18. It says this. But we all, with open face, just stop right there. Number two, stop hiding behind masks. Paul says this, we all. Now he's not going redneck on us. We all. What Paul is saying is this. This is for everyone. This is not just for the new believer. This is not just for somebody that is messed up. This is for the seasoned saint, the new believer, every single Christian. This covers us all. Because all in the Greek, you know what it means? All. It's incredible. That's all it means. We all, no exceptions, everyone needs to do what Paul is saying here. We all, what? With open face. All right, here's what you got to know. Paul is now referring back to a story he had told in this chapter about Moses going up on the mountain. It's found in verse 13. Read that with me if you would. Verse 13 says this. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Here's what happened. Here's the story. Moses is told by God, come up on Mount Sinai, get the law. So Moses goes up on Mount Sinai. He's up there for 40 days to get the law. The law is written on these tablets of stone. He comes down from the mountain. Down below, they are doing some bad stuff. And so Moses sees them dancing nakedly around this golden calf. He gets angry, and he takes 40 days of work, and he just goes, ah, bang, and crushes them on the ground. And I can just see him sitting there going like, oh, no, why did I do that? Great. So he heads right back to the mountain to get two more. While he's up there the second time, he sees the afterglow of God, and because he's seen the afterglow of God, the Bible says that Moses actually radiates light. He is, you can just call it the mo-glow. He is glowing from the mountain. And so he comes down, he's got the mo-glow, and the Bible says this, he began to put a veil on. He put this thing to cover his head so that the mo-glow wouldn't be seen. Now, why would he want to do that? Why would he cover that? Is it because his wife's like, I can't sleep at night, man. Cover that thing up. I could read with that light. Moses, shut it off. No, the reason, verse 13, is that he didn't want anybody to know that the mo-glow started out really bright, but every day it was getting a little bit dimmer and a little bit dimmer and a little bit dimmer and a little bit dimmer. He was hiding the fact that his, quote, spirituality from this mo-glow was diminishing every single day. He didn't want anybody to know it. So he hid behind a mask. Paul says, verse 18, we're not to do that. We are to, with open face, meaning not playing games. And here's what the problem is to me. Because I think we've got a bunch of Moseses that show up in church every single Sunday. Like, I call these little pathways that come in here, however you got in here, I call them Ward Cleaver creators. You know Ward Cleaver? He's the dad from Leave It the Beaver, you know. You ever say all that? It's 40, 50 years old. The show, the Leave It to Beaver. Ward Cleaver is the perfect dad, if you've watched that show. He never has a hair out of place. He's always sitting like reading, smoking a pipe on his, maybe not even smoking a pipe. He's sitting there reading on his easy chair, and Beaver comes in, he has a problem, and like he's got this perfect wisdom, and he never loses his temper. He's the dad, when you've had kids, that you hate. Like, it's impossible. That is impossible. You're like, that would never work with my kids because they're not beavers, they're ducks. Won't work with them. I'm just getting Mark back, all right? I'm getting a little bitterness in my soul from last week, so. That's what happens, doesn't it? We come in here, and here's how your morning went. You and your wife get in the car finally, and you are arguing all the way here about who made you late. Now we're going to sit in the sun, and we're going to fry all. I can't believe this. Your kids have been out of control in the back seat. You have threatened to pull over the car 5 times in 4 blocks. You've taken away every privilege that they have except for their birthday, which you are now regretting never occurred. Right? But you get out of the car and you come down this step and it's, praise God, isn't he good? Oh, how's it going? Excellent, man. I'm doing so well. And your wife's just like, you are a liar. You're a liar. We all do it. We all put the mask on. We don't want anybody to know that we might possibly be broken in some way. We might have some kind of a problem. We don't want anybody to know that. So like Moses, we put on a mask and come in here and, man, everything's good. Now, I'm not saying you come in here and you air your grievances. Man, I'd like to come up front and confess some sin to everybody. I'm not saying you do that, but I am saying there needs to be an open-facedness in Christianity. Here's what Paul's saying, I believe. 3 times he mentions the Spirit. Jesus Christ says this about the Spirit. He says the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Look at John 14. The only currency God accepts is truth. God says, you want to play a game with me? You want to hide behind a mask? You want to have some kind of agenda? I'm not playing. God says, I don't play those games. I accept one currency, and that is truth. You come to me with open face. You come to me with truth, and then I can deal with you. You want transformation? You just want to play a game. You want transformation? The Bible says you come with an open face. No masks, no agendas, nothing. 1 John 1:9 says this. If we will confess our sins, Jesus will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. You want to be changed? I say this. Confession is the course to change. The only thing God accepts is truth. You be truthful with me. You come and you tell me what's going on. You receive prayer. You confess your faults one to another, the Bible says. You find somebody that's going to keep you accountable. You do that, and that's how you get changed. You come with an open face. Like here's what I'm amazed at when I read the Psalms. You've got King David. He is ruler of this country. He writes these Psalms about his personal sin. Psalm 32, Psalm 51. Psalm 55. It is him confessing his personal sin. Now, these were not psalms that you would just tuck under your bed and kind of like hide them so no one else can see them. These were psalms that would be sung in church. Imagine that for a second. We got a special this morning. I'd like you guys to join in. It's a confession song by Mark Scudstead of his personal sin. Enjoy. I mean, just imagine that for a second. That's what King David did. And God says this about King David. He's a man after my own heart. He's going to be used to bring Jesus into existence. That's how much he's going to reflect me. That's incredible to me. You want transformation, you have to be open-faced. God accepts nothing else but truth. And what's so ridiculous about it is he knows already. Like, what are you hiding from? It's like, you know, Adam, when he sinned, he hid. God's like, where are you? You're hiding behind the tree I created. I can just make it disappear, Adam. It's ridiculous. He knows. God says, come to me with an open face. Be authentic. Be honest if you want transformation. If you want to play a game, keep playing it. But if you want transformation, if you want the inside, you want the right conditions to be pop, the Bible says you come open-faced, authentic, no hiding. I was going to spend the entire message on this one point because I got a bunch to say on it. But to me, it's so ridiculous when somebody is on fire and they don't even admit it. You know, it's like, I'm on fire. And people are like, what's that smell? Barbecued me, why? I won't even admit that I have a struggle, that I'm on fire. That's ridiculous. You will never be transformed. You confess, you have accountability. You confess your sins one to another, not to every person, but to somebody that's going to keep you accountable. And that's how God says it, then I can transform you. You're open-faced with me. Huh. Confession is the course to change. So number two, number one, man, you start at the cross. Number two, you stop hiding behind masks. And finally, number three, it says this: but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Okay, number three is this: you've got to stare like a woman. Now that might be a little offensive, but let me explain myself. What's being said here, this word glass here, it means mirror, a reflection. So we're to look at the Lord like we look at the mirror and reflect ourselves. That's what's being said here. Now when it comes to mirrors, men and women look in mirrors very differently, don't we? Amen on that? There is a big difference between how men view a mirror. We're glancers. We glance and we're gone. Women are beholders. They behold themselves in the mirror, right? Let me run through your morning, gals. You get up this morning. You know it's church day. So the very first thing you do is you go to mirror number one, mirror on the wall inside your bathroom. And you behold yourself. You're looking at what kind of damage happened over the last 8 hours, right? And after the survey is done, then you pull out mirror number two, which is your vanity mirror, because you got to get a 360 here. You got to look, whoa, okay, So you got mirror number two. And then once you're done with the 360, about 45 minutes later with knocking on the door, hurry up, who's in there? Once you're done with 360, and then you go to mirror number three, which is the full length mirror to behold. Full length, baby. And you go top down, right? Because you got to see your shoes. I have no idea why you need to see your shoes in a mirror. I have never looked at my shoes in the mirror. You know why? Pretty simple. There it is. But women, they got the big mirror. They've got to do the whole beholding looking. Yeah. So there's mirror number three. Then mirror number four. Finally, you get out of the house. You get in the car. What happens? Flip down the visor. Let's see. Because something may have changed from the house to the garage, right? Something may have gone wrong there. I don't know how, but it went wrong somehow. And then sometimes you need a two-dimensional, so you grab my mirror. And I'm like, I'm driving here. Doesn't matter. If we die, I need to look good, okay, honey? I need to look good here. So then there's mirror four and five. And then we stop the car. We're finally at church. And then, boom, mirror number six, the pocket purse mirror, just in case. As you're stepping out of the car looking, maybe your eyebrows grew together. It's a monobrow now. Gotta make sure. Men don't do that. Men don't carry pocket-sized mirror purses. If you are, see me after church. You got some confessing to do, man. See, men are glancers. Women are beholders. And so what Paul is saying here is you need to behold. You need to behold the Lord like a woman does a mirror. Stop glancing. Stop just, you know, walking by. Start beholding Jesus. Start beholding him. And that does not happen 1 hour on a Sunday morning. That's glancing. That's just taking a glance. We need to be a lot more like ladies when we behold him. It's you carry it with you. It's you spend time. Women, they stare at the mirror until they get everything right. That's what women do. Men, we don't. We don't, for the most part, know what is right, so it wouldn't do us any good. So how in the world do you behold the Lord? I mean, that's about as abstract as can get. What's being said here? You can behold the Lord. Let me give you three ways. There are more than this. How do you look at Jesus? How to behold him? How do you be transformed this way? How do you get this condition? Number one, you can behold Jesus in Scripture. John 5:39, Jesus says this to these guys that knew Scripture. He said, you guys search the Scriptures because you think in them are eternal life, but they testify of me. All the Scripture, it beholds Jesus. Hebrews 10:7 says this. Jesus says, lo, I come, and the volume of the book, it speaks of me. Jesus in Luke 24, after his death, burial, and resurrection, appears to a couple of disciples on the road to Emmaus. And these guys are walking. They don't know it's Jesus. And it says Jesus began to unpack the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets, the whole Old Testament. And he began to show them step by step by step how it told of him. And those guys said, man, when he was doing that, didn't our hearts burn within us? We were heated up until we popped because we saw Jesus. We beheld him in Scripture. You see Jesus in Scripture. That's how you behold him. You see Jesus in the saints, because we are called what? His body. So you can get a glimpse of Jesus when you are gathered together like this morning. I'm surprised how many times somebody has showed me some new facet of Jesus in a home group, in a Bible study, having fellowship, over coffee, just getting together because I see a new facet of the Lord. I see it. I don't know how many times, I can't count how many times somebody has come up to me after a message and said, Matt, that message was just for me. That problem you said, that issue, those things, that's exactly my struggle. How did you know? Now we just tell them, your wife told me, so. you can behold Jesus in the congregation because we're his body. And then finally, I see Jesus in the stars. Psalm 19 says this, the heavens declare the glory of God. I see Jesus like, I go for walks all the time in the woods behind my house. And I'll tell you, for me, I feel the closest to Jesus when I'm with nature. I realize you probably think I'm a hippie, I drive a Volkswagen van, all that kind of stuff, but it just, there's something about nature where I just say, I sense Jesus. I think the hippies got it right. There is something spiritual about nature because it's God's creation. It's his canvas on which he painted this incredible picture for us to enjoy. So it's beholding him. It doesn't happen in 1 hour on a Sunday morning. It doesn't happen. You got to start doing it more like a woman, where it's everything, where you're beholding, you're looking at different facets, and you're taking him with you, and that begins this process, the proper conditions. And what's the result of all this? Look at the end of verse 18. It says this. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. That word changed is the Greek word metamorphosis. The word that's used for a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, for a tadpole turning into a bullfrog. We're metamorphosed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When you get those conditions, man, I'm starting at the cross. I'm accepted. I don't have to run around condemned. God loves me. When I'm coming to him in open, authentic honesty, not playing games with God, which is ridiculous. Anyways, when I start beholding him, not glancing at him, then what happens is God's Spirit within us just begins to heat up. And naturally, normally, without me trying to sweat it and grind it out, the Bible says God's Spirit changes me to begin to look more like Jesus. Simple, authentic Christianity. How do you get transformed? What's the purpose of Christianity? To look like Jesus. How do we do it? Open-faced, beholding our Savior. Because whatever we look at, whatever we're beholding, whatever our attention is on, what happens is we begin to look more and more and more like what we look at and what we worship. So the Bible just constantly tells us, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Chase him and you'll be transformed. That's what happens. So Edgewater, simple message this morning. Get rid of the grind it out methodology. Has that helped you? It's been 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Has that really helped you? Or has it killed you? Paul would say, verse 6 of chapter 3, Paul would say, verse 6 of chapter 3, he'd say, that kills you. The letter, that word letter means, it's a Greek grammar. Grammar rules, it kills you. But the Spirit gives life. Get rid of the grinded out mentality, methodology. Get rid of the glancing mentality where you're just kind of like, just do a Sunday thing and that's it. If that's all you want, that's all you get. And start beholding him. Start beholding him. Keep your eyes on Jesus and watch God's Spirit, which is within you, heat up and bang, transformation. Simple, true, relevant Christianity. So Edgewater Christian Fellowship, keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen? Amen. So Father, I thank you for the simplicity of Christianity. I thank you that it's not by might, that it's not by strength, but it's by your Spirit, says the Lord. May we learn this simple lesson from 2 Corinthians 3. May we give up on our own misguided methods and give up on our own grind it out rule-based Christianity. And may we be those that behold you. May we stare. May we love. And may we look like you, we pray. So we ask, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, this day, that we would be beholders, that we would be beholders, that we would be like the disciples who said that you came and you dwelt among us, and that they beheld your glory, and they were transformed into men that turned the world upside down. Lord, I pray that there would be transformed lives here in Edgewater simply because we're keeping our eyes on you. We're chasing you. Our desire is for you. And by your Spirit, you would heat us up and turn us inside out to better reflect Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.